The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 80, Wrath Roundtable.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, welcome to the first of several very special episodes of The Walking Dead Talk Through, and Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through too, except not this one. I'm Brian.
And I am Mark.
And we are so lucky to have two guest hosts returning from the past, and by popular demand, we have Rima and Kristen.
Hi.
Hi.
You don't know how lucky you are.
Yeah. Especially me right now, because I fell asleep and woke up late. So we're starting this later than we were supposed to. So we will be covering on this particular episode, season 8, episode 16, titled Wrath, which we will be doing a format change. That's why I called it Roundtable and not Review. This episode, and this will probably get some of you upset, but we will not be covering your feedback for this episode or for the next episode that you see in the feed, which will cover the Fear the Walking Dead episode that in the United States and Canada anyway, although I still don't understand AMC. They did not show it in other countries yet. So that's part of the reason why we are separating them. So we will not be discussing your feedback. We will not discuss news, ratings, anything of that nature. But we will discuss our own ratings of the episode, our sauces, or sauce-i, as we like to call it, and then any other episode discussing. But it'll just be us, and then we'll do it all again to discuss Fear, and we are also expecting Kyle from Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, my co-host for the Fear episodes, but he's not available yet, but he'll be joining us at some point. But on this one, we will only cover Wrath. So this episode was written by Scott M. Gimple and Angela Kang, who is going to be the new showrunner, and Matthew Negrete, and directed by Greg Nicotero. So, I'm going to start with Rima. What did you think of Wrath out of 10?
Oh, out of 10. So, I didn't hate this one. So, I think I'm probably going to give it like a 7, because it did have some really great moments. There were some great throwbacks and some really great lines and some really... There was some good character stuff and some not so great character stuff, which is why I just keep it at a 7. So I'm giving it a 7 brains out of 10.
All right. Kristen, what about you?
I went a little higher. I actually was giving it a 8 out of 10 broken shards of stained glass.
Mark?
I like it.
Thank you.
I actually enjoyed this episode greatly for the fact that it ended the war. Thank God. I give it a 9.5 Eugene exploding bullets.
Yeah, and to that I say,
like it.
ending the war. Although we had a very strange turn at the end. So I will say 9.61.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm going to say I love the episode, and I'm going to rate it slightly higher than the other episodes this season. I was stuck on a 9.6. So this is a 9.61. Potential Civil War plots. All right. So let's get into awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. All right, Rima, what do you have?
Okay, so just to start out, I think it's really good to start with the cold open that we got, because I mean, hey, if they're gonna grab you, they're gonna do it in the beginning, right? And I think this probably struck a chord with not just myself, but probably lots of folks that are fans of the show. And that's Rick in his uniform walking with a little Carl. You know, they're walking down that little dirt road, and that was, you know, I didn't actually shed tears, but it did pull at my heartstrings quite a lot. It takes a lot for me to cry. I'm not a crier, but, you know, it did pull at my heartstrings, and it was just a nice little moment because I had that sweet little Walking Dead music, that they always play in those moments, and just thought that was super sweet. So I really, really loved that. Thought it was a great little callback. And I think that's one thing that kind of, was helping Rick during this episode, the thing that kind of drew him where he ended up there at the end, you know, even though he's went to all these bad places, and that's what he had to kind of pull him back and do what he did at the end by saving Negan. And so that's my first awesome sauce. Do I continue or just have a
yes.
discussion? Okay, so
if anyone has anything to say about awesome sauce, free. Go ahead.
Did you see Talking Dead at all?
I did.
I can't remember if it was Talking Dead or if it was the after show little clip that I saw earlier this morning. But Andrew Lincoln was talking about how it was really important to him to wear the same police uniform as the first season, and it was a little tight on him.
yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, he actually demanded that from I think in the first season. He wanted to have that, and it was a fight to get it. And I was thinking maybe
probably at the Smithsonian.
Yeah,
no kidding. It's probably in a museum somewhere.
Yeah, he would probably try to pull a Ryan Reynolds and just try to steal it, like Ryan Reynolds did with Deadpool.
Right.
I got a kick out of the fan that asked the question and made the little cutting dig about his hair color being changed. His hair?
that was good.
Because he's like, oh, she had to do a little shaving. Oh my gosh, I died because I thought that was, I mean, I feel like I don't have a very good filter half the time and I'm completely inappropriate, and that would have just flown right out of my mouth had I been her. So I totally sympathize with, you know, because he's like, oh, I had to do a little shaving, you know, because he's had his beard for so long. And she's like, oh, do you have to dye your hair too? And I mean, it just was so perfect. But he admitted it himself in an interview. He admitted that he's like, yes, I had to shave. Yes, I had to dye my hair a little. So...
yeah, it didn't look like his hair was cut. It looked like he had the same length hair that he had, but it was a lot darker.
Yeah. They were probably able to try to maybe comb it a little bit to try to get it to lay just right. But there was a good picture of, I saw someone had posted, I think it was like a behind the scenes picture of him and Norman with Rick in his uniform. And it looks a little bit trimmed up. I don't know if it's as short as like what it was from when we saw him in season one, but it looked a little bit more trimmed up than what we're used to seeing him with his beard kind of going crazy. So anyway, I thought that was really great. What else did I love?
You tell us.
I like Because it wasn't much. No, I feel like I'm a hard sell. I have not been a big fan of this whole entire season as a whole. The second half I thought was better than the first half. There were just some things I just didn't love about this whole season. But this was not, in my opinion, as strong of a finale. It was a good finale as far as other Walking Dead finales that we've had where I thought some could have been better. So it was better than most, but not as good as some others that we've had. We've had some damn good finales from this show. And,
yeah,
you know, like you guys said earlier, you know, the finally the war was over. So that was a big plus for me. I am glad for that because I just don't know that I was going to maintain any damn sanity if this was going to continue on and AMC freaking lied to us again. So, one thing that I kind of love, but I also hate, that they keep giving me reasons to like Rosita. Because I have a very strong
totally get it
dislike for her, but they keep giving her things that I'm like, damn it, I like that you did that. You know, she took a swing at Eugene for him puking on her, like she was proud of him for his actions. Amazing.
I love
that. Yeah, but she's like, you know what? That's great. I'm glad you're with us. That was great because they couldn't have done it without him. And she acknowledges that, but yet she's also not going to let him get away with that. And I love that because I feel I can relate to that. Because I'm like, yeah, I'll acknowledge that you did something good, but I'm not letting you get away with puking on me. Because I wouldn't tolerate that in myself. And there was, and I don't remember exactly what it was. There was something in a few episodes ago that she did that, that I was like, damn it. I like that she did that because I feel like I would have maybe done the same, or it was somewhat redeeming after all the crap that I've given her for the entire like last two seasons. So it's kind of a love-hate thing. I hate that they keep giving me reasons to like her, but I like that they're doing it as well. Maybe they'll swing me to the other side. And
you want to hate her?
No, well, I already kind of hate her, but maybe they'll turn her around because I really like it when they can make me feel differently about a character. I like when they can, you know, like I dislike someone, but they can make me like that person. I'm sitting here racking my brain trying to think of any characters in The Walking Dead that has been true for, but they do it in Game of Thrones a lot for me.
Yeah.
Where the, you know, you start out despising this character and then the way that their arc carries out throughout the series, you end up that becomes like one of your most beloved characters and you would hate to see anything happen to them. And I don't remember anyone specifically in The Walking Dead. It's really just not, I think they're doing more about turning Father them
Gabriel.
On me. Gabriel, I'm starting yeah. to, I, yeah, I have had an extreme dislike of him since day one. And that was really cool. I really loved his punch at Negan. So I did like that.
That was some wire coming out of him.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Tell
I haven't
you seen him what? In that. I was like, you, Seth Gilliam.
Is he a bad motherfucker on The Wire? Because I well, haven't seen it.
Yeah, he has a great arc on The Wire. Just for anybody that has not seen The Wire, I can't. I'm always pushing this show. But yeah, he has a great arc. I love his arc.
That's cool.
I guess this is a good time to remind people. No cursing.
Sorry.
What did you say?
That was me.
Yeah.
You can edit that. I apologize.
I will.
Okay, so everybody knows that Rima is just like Jeffrey Dean Morgan. She has to keep herself in check in public.
I know. That's so hard to do. They had to bleep JDM on The Talking Dead, too. So.
Yeah.
I'll be good.
And, so and I will bleep myself by saying, stop swearing.
Well, all right.
Do you have any more awesome sauce, Rima?
No, I have like notes and stuff that I can chime in with, but as far as awesome sauce, I'm good.
All right. Kristen, what about you? What do you have?
So I have a couple of things. I really, really like the quiet moments of this episode. I thought that that's kind of where this episode shone. One of my favorite little bits was the very beginning where everybody's kind of walking through, talking to each other. And it was a direct callback to the season premiere, when everybody was getting ready for the very first battle. And, you know, the camera just kind of panned through the whole field and it showed, you know, Jerry, giving Enid some extra armor, and conversations with Aaron and Eric, and just these soft, quiet moments that people have right before something big is about to happen. And they did the same exact thing at the beginning of this episode, which I really liked. And a part of that quiet, just that quiet, reflective part was that conversation that Sadiq and Rick had over baby Grace. It was Gracie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the baby's name. Yeah. And I just, you know, as watching Sadiq struggle with how to even like be physically around Rick, and then Rick talks directly to him and everything's quiet. Like Sadiq is such a quiet character, which I love. It's like you, when he talks, I find myself really settling in to listen to whatever he's going to say. Cause for some reason I have it in my head now that whatever he's going to say is going to be awesome.
Yeah. I agree.
And Rick was being vulnerable. I mean, he's been so angry for so long. And in this moment, you see that he's really trying to honor his son, and he wants to know why he should honor his son. And I just loved that conversation between Sadiq and Rick, and Rick, you know, his reactions to Carl wanting to honor his mom, and Carl, Sadiq's mom, and Carl wanting to bring him back to the community and get him to trust him. And Rick is smiling and he's agreeing that was his son, and he's remembering the good parts of his son, which, you know, a lot of times in grief, it's hard to remember those things. It's hard to remember anything. You know, you're so focused on the loss that you forget about the person. And when he touched his chest, it almost broke me, man, because you could tell. And then he just walks away and quietly says, thank you. And then you get that amazing shot outside at the hilltop with everybody talking and Jerry being, you know, Jerry. So I just loved it. I loved that very delicate beginning because it shows how delicate war can really be and kind of the cost of what war is, but also the camaraderie and the friendships and the bonds that you make when you go through something really intense like this all together. I mean, the ZA is intense enough as it is, but oh my gosh, to have a war on top of the horror that is your world now. I can't imagine that. And I just thought that was very beautifully done. Another thing that I really liked was I actually cried when Oceanside showed up.
Yeah, that was great.
I don't know what caused me to do it, but I just sat there and just, I'm like, oh my gosh, my face is wet. Like, what's happening right now?
What are these things on my face?
I know.
It's tears.
I know. It was amazing. You know, saviors are coming at him. And, you know, Tara's decided that she's going to lead the charge, which that's already a horrible idea. And then all of a sudden, it's like stuff starts blowing up everywhere. And you look over and there's the Oceanside women. They have no guns because the guns are taken from them. Their men were taken from them. Their leader has just been killed and they're there. They showed up and they're going to fight for what they want. And it was awesome. It was so cool. And I loved that. Rick's goodbye letter to Carl at the very end. Again, it was a very quiet moment. But it was so impactful and it was so beautiful. I just really, really loved everything that he said. I wrote some of it down and of course I can't find it now, but you know, that's okay. We all saw it.
We saw it. We were there.
Yeah. Rick finally grieving over Carl underneath the tree after everything was over. You heard these like very deep guttural cries and he was allowing himself to finally feel it. You know?
Yeah, to grieve.
No one's had time to grieve, man.
Nobody. Lauren Cohen, watching her.
Oh my gosh.
In the field. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It was, well, it reminded me back when Beth came out of the hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she had the same reaction, except this one was just, I mean, it was even more. you know, because she kept saying, he killed Glenn, he killed Glenn, he has to die, he has to pay it, and, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I, again, crying tears. Mm-hmm. She's so, Lauren Cohen is just so good at that, evoking that emotion. So, you know, I just thought, as much as, you know, as much as I understood why Rick, you know, did whatever, kept him alive, I was right there with Maggie. I was, mm-hmm. I wanted somebody to like knock Michonne out so that Maggie could go finish the job, because she deserved that death. She deserved to release that anger for sure. And then, the last awesome sauce that I had was, Gabriel's sight returning. I immediately, when I saw what was happening, like, the song Amazing Grace popped into my head. And I loved it that, you know, he got his sight back, for whatever reason, right? I'm a very, I am a Christian. So I loved that aspect of the episode. I thought that that was really wonderful that they added that element for Gabriel. Cause I think he needed that, mm-hmm. confirmation of his faith and confirmation that he stayed the course, because it's always been rocky for him. So yeah. So those Agreed. Were my awesome sauces. Sauce.
Very, very good. Awesome sauces.
Thank
or whatever
you.
The hell. But really those cool. I agree with all of those.
Yeah. Especially the Gabriel gets his sight back. I don't even think I processed that. So I'm glad that you picked that up, because I would have never come up with that one. Mark, what about you?
I have a few, just like Kristen did. Definitely the fight between Negan and Rick. That was so great to see on the big screen. That final slash to Negan's throat was what we were all looking for. it popped out just like it did in the comic book. And a lot of people who read the comic expected it, but it just took us aback. And I was just like, oh, yes. Oh, and it, you know, I jumped out of my seat and enjoyed.
That's amazing.
That's great. I didn't know it was from the comic, so that's pretty awesome.
So yeah,
I was shocked. My jaw fell on the floor.
So a lot of people wanted him to die, and then, you know, then Rick, you know, with his redemption, trying to keep Negan alive just because of what Carl wrote, and, you know, save him and telling Sadiq to go help him out. It's really to keep him alive so that he, Negan will pay and sit there and rot based upon the grief and the turmoil that he put our group through. That was something that's needed. You know, Maggie can't see it that way. And oddly enough, we're getting, like Ryan mentioned before, a possible civil war. I'm just curious as mm-hmm. who's going to be the blue and the gray, you know, who's the blue and who's the gray in this scenario. But that was one of them. Definitely the opening scene when you see Rick walking, just like Rima said before, with Carl, little young Carl and Rick, and Rick reading the letter and having it all sink in. And then the other awesome sauce was Michonne really digging down into Negan's throat. It's like, we know you're awake.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and she goes, and then he tries to talk back, and then she just digs right in. And, you know, and then Rick's trying to hold her back. You know, those were definitely my top on my list. And especially with the Oceanside coming to save the day with the Molotov cocktails, just throwing them out there. Everybody jumped up from their seats and were screaming in the theater. I thought that was like, my theater was quite quiet throughout most of the show, but a lot of people were laughing at the right points, jumping and screaming and having a good time. So to me, it felt a lot of camaraderie with a lot of people that were there. But, you know, unlike me, where I sat in a quiet place and I had to hush up 5 yentas from talking to her in a movie that you had to be quiet in. But I had a great
That's
time
so
in
funny.
It.
It's so funny because when Walking Dead is on, it's just Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. When those two shows are on, if anybody speaks, I will send them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watch it in the dark. I'm impossible to watch those shows with.
So. Oh, I'm the worst. People refuse to watch any of those shows with me anymore. I've forced myself into solitude watching those shows with my behavior. So my dog had to go out like the last couple of minutes of the finale for right before Fear started, but it was like the last few minutes and my dog is like pacing the floor and I'm like, you're just going to have to wait. I don't know what you're thinking disturbing me 5 minutes before the show's over. You're just going to have to cross those legs and hold it because
you need doggy diapers.
I need something.
My dogs like shook and started scratching at the door right as Negan's throat slit. And I just looked at them and I'm like, no.
You know, mommy's watching The Walking Dead and that just doesn't happen. You have to wait till commercial.
End you. Yes.
So even I, and as much as people know that I love my dogs, they had to wait. They had to wait a couple minutes. I'm like, this show is over in like 5 minutes. You can hold it for 5 minutes. I'm going to get like PETA called on me now or something.
Nah.
All right. Well, I guess my awesome sauce is going to be the heel turn back of Eugene, because Mark and I talked about this last episode, and a lot of people were able to see that Eugene was going to sabotage the bullets, and I've got mm-hmm. For some reason, I keep having William Shatner in my head saying sabotage. but anyway, I did not pick up on that, and Mark, I don't think you did either. But and maybe that was a byproduct of me only watching the episode twice, because normally I'll watch them like 5, 6, 15 times before I'll podcast about it. But I've been busy, so I didn't do that last week, and I've only gotten to watch this one twice this week as well. So anyway, I appreciated Eugene redeeming himself at least somewhat with the bullets and how they all fired and they all, you know, had the thing explode in their hands. So I would give that an awesome sauce. And I guess the second would be and you guys had mentioned this a little bit, but the scene at the end with Sadiq, Rick, Michonne, and Negan on a bed, which I think was back in Alexandria. So obviously that was a house that wasn't burned down. I guess that based on the window and the fact that there was one of those wire racks in the back, and we saw those all over Alexandria. You know,
they were shelves. In Alexandria.
Yeah.
That Rick mm-hmm. was on his front porch.
Oh, he was. Okay. So
he was on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was no way he was ever going to leave Alexandria. Sorry.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, right.
No, he wasn't leaving that. Not with Carl and Judas' little handprints on the front porch.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the speech or the dialogue with Rick and Michonne talking to Negan and kind of telling him his role in the future, I thought was really good. And I also loved the fight with Negan and Rick. I assumed that Rick wasn't going to kill Negan, and I liked how it was done. Mark, it's different than how the comic books did it, right? Like,
yes,
there was, because this had more of a play on, you know, Carl's words and what Carl wanted, where I think Rick in the comic book talked more about getting Negan to understand, you know, how things can be. And
yes,
he kind of finally does. And then that's right at that moment that Rick cuts him.
Yes. Yeah, it happened that way in the comic. And actually, Rick busts his leg during that fight, too.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I haven't read the comic books, but I have kept apprised of the comic book. So that is a the whole All Out War, I kind of know the plot summary, so I know of that. I would also agree about the Maggie emotion there at the end, but I do have something in my weak sauce for that as well. So I'll explain that when we get there. But overall, you know, I love this episode. I didn't have too much to fault it, but I definitely have some other sauce eye. So, all right. With that, I guess we can go to weak sauce now.
You're worthless and weak.
Okay, so I'll start with just a couple things and nitpick here. And they're more like details because I know many people do, but I really do pay attention to details and things stand out to me sometimes and makes me just question. I get this is a TV show. I do watch TV shows for enjoyment. I don't like to nitpick and go, well, that would never happen. You know, I am capable of sitting back and just enjoying things, but I also appreciate The Walking Dead and it tries to put real people, in these types. Now, clearly we don't have a zombie apocalypse currently happening. So how would we react? We don't know, but I try to appreciate, like, it kind of makes you think of how it would play out in real life. And so a couple things about this particular episode that made me think that wouldn't really happen. Just right before the saviors jumped up with their guns, Negan starts doing a 3-2-1 countdown right before the saviors stood up and started firing. I realized that this was for the benefit of the show to help build that anticipation, because you're going back and forth from Negan and the saviors, and you're going back looking at the group, and it's kind of, you're like, oh my gosh, it's getting ready to happen. This is really, you know, the showdown's happening. So I get that they're building up anticipation and this was for the show, but you would never do this in like real life. Why would you let your enemy know that you're getting ready to start firing on them? You would just do it, or you would at least try to do it under some guise of surprise, right? So that kind of annoyed me a little bit, that he's counting down right before the saviors jump up and start firing. It just kind of annoyed me a little bit, but hey, I get what they were trying to do and it worked. Then another thing was, along with that gunfire, you know, they acknowledged the big herd. Rick and the group saw the big herd just over yonder, I'm going to say. I don't know how far away that was, but it looked really, you know, I don't know how long yonder is.
But over yonder.
Over yonder.
Round the bend.
Over Jordan.
But, you know, they're on top of the hill.
Down a looking, spell.
Yeah. However far that is. And they are acknowledging the Walker herd, which I like because, you know, at least it keeps us a reminder of the world that they live in. Granted, they have bigger fish to fry with this war and with Negan, but I think it's also, it's not just that they have to deal with. They do have to deal with Walkers still, and they may not be, like, to us as big of a threat as like they were in like season 1 and 2, where they seemed a little bit more scary and you were really fearful. And now they're just like easy to kill. You can just put a knife through their head like butter. But I think it was a good reminder anyway of at least the world that they're living in and what the true fight is. It should be, that's what it should be about. They should be fighting for survival against, you know, the Walkers and overcoming the Walkers, not fighting amongst each other, fighting humans and people, the living. But you know, then I thought, wouldn't all that gunfire draw the herd towards them, you know, and bring them their way? And then another thing that kind of bugged me is, was it really right for Rick to use Carl's name to get Negan where he wanted him there when he's like, just give me 10 seconds? He said it's about Carl. And then he ends up slashing him in the throat. I thought that does this, I don't know, I guess you kind of do what you feel like you have to do in that moment to get the advantage on your opponent, but it felt kind of icky to me to use your child, your dead child, to do that. And then, of course, just the whole ending part with the characters and how they're now kind of plotting and biding their time against Rick and Michonne, and going against their decision and not liking that. I also didn't like Sadiq. Sadiq was at the, I get that he was at the battle, because he's there in a doctor role and it was good that he was there to save Negan, but it seemed like quite a risk. He's the one doctor you have and you've got him in the middle of a gun battle.
And all of them have died.
Exactly. I'm like, dude, the track record for doctors is not great on this show. And you've got your doctor in the middle. It's fine. Maybe have him behind the scenes. Have him hide behind a tree while this is going down or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they continually don't do anything to, you know, hide or protect the doctors that are on the show. They're continually exposing themselves to danger when they should be in the back lines and they're off of the front lines saving people. But you know, but then again, if Sadiq was not at the battle, Negan would have died.
Mm-hmm. And I totally get why he was there in the capacity for, like, you know, because they have medics and such in the front lines of battles and things to help the wounded and help get people, you know, patched up and get them off the front lines and do what they can to try to help people in that immediate situation. Because sometimes that's a critical moment, is get people help as quickly as possible instead of waiting for medical care. So I totally get that it makes sense that he's there. But to have him on the front line like that, like in the group surrounded by the saviors, and they had a complete disadvantage. If Eugene hadn't done what he did, I mean, they totally would have went down, because they were down, you know, like in a lower position, and the saviors were surrounding them, or at least from one side surrounding them anyway, but up at a higher ground, they were toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the only field medic that they would have other than Sadiq would be Carol.
Yeah.
Because she helped out a long time ago.
How long has she been? Well, yeah, but that was, I mean, I don't know if she's advanced any of her training, but man, that was back in season three when she was training for.
Yeah, I mean, Rosita has some of that too, because she
slipped for her skills.
Yeah,
she slipped with me.
Yeah,
she slipped her way to the top.
Rosita is,
anyway,
a jack of all trades.
I bet she is. Anyway, that's just a few things.
That was awesome, Rima. That was awesome.
Feeling a little sassy tonight.
You know? Yeah, I like that.
So you're saying that she knows how to shave a man down dolphin smooth.
Golly, Mark.
No comment. I've got plenty of other things I could nitpick about, but I'm going to let someone else have the floor. So I want to hear what other people think.
It is worth wondering if what would have happened if Sadiq wasn't there. I mean, is it possible that Maggie would have gotten her wish and Negan would have died?
Rhetorical, okay?
I tried to put that into a rhetorical, so I don't know. Kristen, what about you? What do you have for weak sauce?
I have a few things that I was kind of pissed off about, which is, I mean, I wanted to actually rate this episode lower because the things that I felt negative about were actually like really strongly felt more than anything else, but I wasn't going to rate it lower than Fear the Walking Dead. So I decided to rate it higher. So the first thing that I think is weak is that Negan is alive. I am pissed off about that. I wanted him to die. The minute I saw his throat slash, I was hopeful. And then when I saw that he was getting saved, it was like that hope was ripped away from me. And I was pissed because I didn't expect him to die going into the episode. I was like, okay, it's not going to happen because it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan and AMC is going to keep him as long as they can. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw that his throat was slashed, I was like, hallelujah. And then it didn't happen. So I feel like something was taken away from me, and that's why I'm angry. Eugene needed to die on Sunday. I don't care what he does from here on out that he thinks is good. I didn't like him to begin with. I was kind of okay with him the night in the woods for the season 7 finale because I thought that he stepped up. Then he went totally against Abraham's memory, and he joined up with these sons of bees.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last minute, he pukes on Rosita and decides to save everybody. And he wants to be what? Taken back? I hate him. I was so ready for this guy to die. Even if he did do that with the bullets, he still should have died. Like, whether it have been somebody shoots him in the face or if he got a bat to the head from Negan right before Negan got captured. I don't care.
Friendly fire.
I just don't care. I needed this to be his last episode. I'm pissed off that he's still alive. Mm-hmm. On the same side, I'm really angry about the fact that Dwight was let go by Daryl. Dwight's a character that, while he has done some reprehensible things, he has tried over and over and over again to help these people win their war. Without Dwight, in certain situations, they would have lost several times. You know, he tried to make it right. He saved Tara. He saved Tara twice when he didn't have to. He had his wife stolen from him, from this monster. He was trying to stay alive. Like, I feel like I understand Dwight and his path. Just like Daryl was a horrible person at the beginning of this series. And we've watched what he's gone through. Mm-hmm. And he went from some racist redneck to one of the most beloved characters on the show. And for Daryl not to understand that about Dwight, it makes no sense to me. And the fact that he's like, go away, and if I ever see you again, I'll kill you. I get it, dude. You were in the A suit and you were naked and he gave you dog food. He did that because he was trying to stay alive. He was trying to keep his wife alive. He was, you know, this was a horrible situation. Yeah. And then when it came time, he did it. Mm-hmm. He helped. He went above and beyond what he risked his life,
like, multiple times
every day of that war. And so the fact that he was let go in the woods and he's apologizing and he's understood where he's gone wrong, the whole thing, it was probably the most angry I was out of the entire episode.
I'm with you.
He should have Daryl should have saw that Dwight redeemed himself in some sort of way, kind of like how Daryl did himself.
Right, with the Cherokee Rose.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, if you think about what Daryl did before, when Merle mentions, got to be season 4, did you tell those people that we were going to go rob them?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that Daryl has done in the past that could be used against him. But obviously, nobody's bringing that up. So, he went from bad to good to heal again. What's the situation with that?
And he's like all of a sudden on Maggie's side. He's like anti-Rick and anti-Michonne. Like, the whole thing does not make sense. Over Daryl. I've been over Daryl all season. I hate saying that because I'm a huge Norman Reedus fan and have been for years. But I just don't think that there's anything more that can be done with this character. I think they keep him on because he's Norman Reedus.
He's the cash cow.
And I think that keeping him on at this point is just going to hurt the show. I hate saying this. I hate saying it because I love him so much. I love him so much. But what they've written for him, I think, is just inexcusable. Especially this episode.
I would definitely agree with that. He has not, I would say it's been worse since, you know, his buddy JDM has joined the show. He's actually had less to do, if that was even possible. Because, you know, I'd say ever since Beth left, you know, he hasn't had two words to say.
Yes, Beth died. It's been downhill for Daryl as a character. And I'm with you. I'm a huge, anyone that knows me knows I'm a Reedus fan for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And it kills me to see this, you know, his character play out like that. And I hate saying
it. I totally
agree. But it's been downhill for quite some time. And I think they're just bobbling because they don't quite know what to do with this character. And he's not from the comics. So I think that they struggle on where to fit him in the rest of the storyline and the rest of the, you know, when they are trying to do comic storylines. And I don't think they've quite figured out, like, he hasn't quite replaced anyone's storyline. You know how, like, they'll kill off a character, but they're, like, still alive in the comics. So they'll kind of mold someone else to kind of take over that role a bit, kind of like Michonne and Andrea. You know, how Michonne's kind of taking over Andrea's role a little bit, how they kind of do that kind of thing sometimes. So he hasn't like slipped into like a comic character's shoes. And I think they just don't quite know what to do with him. And I just think it's really sad because I think there's potential there. But they just, I don't know. I don't want to say it's weak or anything. It's just, I hate it though. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm right there with you with the whole Dwight thing. That I hated that. I thought I could see letting him go. I can say, yes, let's give him some supplies. Let's give him a vehicle and say, here, go find Sherry, dude. Not sending him away, like banning him from the community or anything, kicking him out, but saying, dude, here's some stuff. Go find Sherry, because that's what you need to do now. Everything's over. Things are settled. You don't have to be scared anymore. She doesn't have to be scared anymore. Go find your wife. But to do it in that way, like sending him away.
Yeah.
Telling him, yeah, casting him out, and then telling him, if I ever see you around again, I'll kill you. I'm like, dude, do you know what he suffered and went through to like save y'all's ass? Every day it was, you know, a fight for him to, you know, to stay alive and not get caught. And in the end, he did get caught. Thankfully, it wasn't before he got taken out, but he did get caught, you know, betraying Negan and the group. So I'm like, dude, give him some slack. I mean, I get it. You know, I see both sides, but I'm like, that's just too far. And here we are at a point where we're trying to like forgive the rest of the saviors, and you didn't kill Negan. And yeah, he's obviously turned on that, but it's like, you know, this is, I don't know. I did not agree with that at all.
Well,
I agree.
Bad taste in my mouth.
So Kristen, I'm going to ask you, so does this mean that you would rather have seen, Dwight stay on and Daryl be cast out or killed?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's...
I would have been okay with Daryl dying and Dwight staying.
Yeah.
Because at this point,
Daryl having like a righteous death would have meant something to me.
Yeah.
But Daryl flaming out like this, it's not respectful to his character. It's not respectful to the actor and what he's done for the show and what he's done... with the character that he's been given. I think that Daryl hasn't been fleshed out the way that I think he mm-hmm. should have been. You know, when you see the episode where I call it the Daryl and Carol Power Hour, I don't know what else to call it, the one where they were going when it was just the two of them. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So he kept that book about sexually abusive relationships or pasts or mm-hmm. something like that. He stuck that in his bag. We never got any more story on that.
Yeah.
Why did he keep the book? What is in your past? What has happened to you to make you the way that you are? I think that there are elements of his character that we have not seen. It's just like with Glenn. I wanted more of a backstory on Glenn. We didn't get that. We didn't get mm-hmm. any of it. And I think that there's a lot that's left out for the sake of pushing a story forward or giving a certain actor more to do. You know, that's another thing, you know, that's in my notes, is that, you know, Jesus is this amazing character. He's a ninja. This guy has amazing fighting skills. And we haven't seen any of that. He's had 4 lines for 16 episodes.
This season. I know.
It's made me angry.
Yeah.
You know, so when you get to that and you see what's happened with Daryl, yeah, kill him off. Open up the money. Like, do something, but stop doing this. Stop killing a character that I love mm-hmm. so much.
And,
because now I don't want him on my show anymore.
Yeah, and I mentioned, you know, I mean, he has had lines this season, but they've all been reacting to something as opposed to, like, there's no character moments per se. They're just... you know, him
right.
getting mad about, you know, somebody like getting mad that Dwight ran off or whatever. Or it's always.
I liked his relationship with Denise.
Yeah.
I thought his relationship with Denise was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'll revise that. I said it was Beth. There were good moments with Daryl and Denise.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since she's gone, his character hasn't been the same. And, you know, if anything, he's been replaced as the number two to go into number two. And I would say, now that Negan is the number two character on the show, and Daryl's probably 3 or 4, probably even 4, because I'd say Ari maybe Payton. Michonne was 3.
Kari Payton. What?
I was going to say that Michonne is probably the third character on the show, and then maybe Daryl.
What about
even Rosita has been getting more lines than Daryl. So
him coming out of the shadows and saying, "Yeah, we're gonna get him. Yeah, Maggie, we're gonna do it." Okay.
Yeah,
dude, yeah, Batman.
You just sit there and look dirty.
Yeah,
I mean, Pen from Peanuts.
Well, that I have
a bad taste.
Yeah, I have all sorts of things to say when we get to my week sauce. Do you have anything else, Kristen?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've totally taken up too much time.
Do not apologize.
But the last thing, it's very little, was Laura. Laura all of a sudden being good. I just tattoo neck. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, whatever. You know what? Okay, let's do that too. Sure. She's planting and nodding at Rosita and everything's fine. Whatever.
I've suddenly seen the light. We're good now.
She's like, okay, we're done. Oh, just kidding. JK, LOL.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard good things about the actress. Mark, you were talking about her last week.
Yeah.
But her reverse heel turn here was a bit out of character, I would say.
Yeah, she was hateful and vindictive, and all of a sudden now she's planting things. You know what? Whatever. I really wish that I could give Fear or Walking Dead a lower rating because of how strongly I feel about these few negatives, but I love this show and I always will. And mm-hmm. I will always think every episode's great except for when the governor had his standalone episodes because those were yucky.
Yeah. Those were yucky.
And we are now joined by my co-host on Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, Kyle.
Hey, everyone.
Yay.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for letting me jump in.
And we are going to throw it right to you to get your weak sauce. So what have you got for this episode?
For the episode, I mean, you know, overall, I enjoyed it. But I don't know, like, Father Gabriel's kind of been my weak sauce. Like, that he's still alive. And there was just like... I mean, as much of everything, you know, he loses his sight. He's like around Negan all the time. And I don't know why Negan still keeps him around. But I really thought that he was supposed to be a goner already. And then so I just kind of felt it was a little weak.
And, you know, he acted like Negan was going to, or I should say Negan acted like he was going to use the bat to him. And instead, he just says, put him back in the car. And for that matter, didn't they ever hear of child restraining doors? You know, it's like, hello, don't let him open his door. I thought of that. Do you have any other weak sauce?
I thought... some of the kind of just the way how Negan's plan, I guess, was like kind of came into being. It just seemed very, I don't know, like it just like, you know, he creates a map gets to Rick. Rick believes the map. You know, then it's like, it surprised me at first because I didn't understand necessarily what was going on. But like, you know, it's like, okay, so Negan throws all the saviors out there that get killed. And then Rick's group finds another map. So I don't know. It's just like, and then everything just led to, oh, okay, now they're at the big hilltop battle. And it just, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of a rushed and convenient that it just how it, that all played.
Yeah. And I have more to say that about that in my weak sauce. Mark. What about you?
The battle. I was expecting something a lot more intense. You would think since they have so many saviors and there's only so many between Hilltop and Alexandria, when they started rolling out and you see them when after the three count, they're all rising up and you see just a long stretch of people. Now, mind you, this is not Game of Thrones. You're not going to see a horde of people, but you would think there was a lot more masses that they are there. And I was thinking, okay, maybe we'll get something similar to what the governor did at the prison. Maybe they'll have some like vehicles or something else other than the guns. And it just seemed kind of short. It kind of got cut real short with the guns exploding. They were not continuing on. And then out of the blue, they just give up so easily. Oh, no, you got us. Thank you. No, we're bowing to you. And it, how does that happen? You know, it's to me, I was expecting something a little bit more intense, a little bit more drawn out with a lot more people. But maybe I had high hopes for something because this was supposed to be the final battle of what's going on of this war. But that was my only big, huge letdown, really, from the episode itself. But that's about it.
Yeah, I thought that some of that myself, but I wonder how good the Saviors are at hand-to-hand combat. I have a feeling that might have had something to do with it. You know, they only know guns, and that's about it. Take away their guns, and they don't know how to fight. To that end, it was kind of mentioned, but I didn't hear it mentioned this way. But the whole thing with how Negan in the car kind of describes the plan to Gabriel, and then later at the wherever that was, the site of the final battle, I thought Negan was very James Bondy. So it's like, let me tell you my plan. You know, I will tell you about how brilliant I am, how I'm going to destroy the Earth, and then I will go now and allow you to escape. You know, so that part of it I thought was kind of cliched. And you know, that, so I thought that was weak. What is it with, and although I enjoyed the emotional moments, with Maggie, after, Rick decides to have Negan saved, what is it with Lauren Cohan having a speech impediment every time she, cries hysterically? She starts having, you can't kill him. Did anybody else notice that?
Have you never cried hysterically while screaming? I have.
I don't have a speech impediment when I scream.
Well, it's she's like, got.
I sure do.
I say
she's in grief.
I say she's like in total. Yeah, she's. I mean, this is like really coming out for her in this moment because she feels so betrayed, and she's been waiting for this moment since Negan killed Glenn. And yeah, all of it has come up to the surface. She's had to suppress it for, and I don't know the exact timeline. I know it's definitely skewed compared to our perspective and this perspective for them in this show of how long this has been drawn out, but it's been a handful of weeks, right? So, and she's had no time to grieve. She has went from losing Glenn to having to pull herself together and be like, okay, so what are we going to do now to fight these people, fight Negan, come back on top because we're not going to be oppressed by them. And then the whole planning and everything that they've went through to this point, she's had like no time to grieve. She's had to put it on the back burner, I think. You know, I know she's been sitting at his grave and not forgetting him or anything, but she's really had no time to really let that out and I think process it. And then all of a sudden it comes up to the front because she thinks she's going to have her moment and that she's going to be able to take out Negan like she thought. And then it's taken away from her. It's like Kristen was talking about earlier, how that was taken away from her.
Yeah.
when in her moment, and this is taken away from her, and also feeling all that grief coming, of what she's lost. And it's not just Glenn. She's lost her entire family.
Oh,
Maggie has lost everyone. And I think it's just, I mean, I think as a woman, I can totally relate. I have been in a screaming, crying rage like that. And you're blubbering.
Well, that none of that I have a problem with. It's the speech impediment. It sounded like this. Okay. I haven't practiced this, so I might not get this right. I didn't get it right. I put too much in my mouth. Rick. No, you brought me the wrist, Rick.
She didn't go to.
It's like
because
she was upset. She was talking like she had a bunch of mouthwash in her mouth.
you know.
She probably did. She's probably like, because she's screaming and crying, you know, I'll have like snot running down my nose. I'll have the tears running down my face. And then for some reason, you produce a lot of spit. So she probably did have a full mouth or something. But, you know, to me, Lauren Cohan's accent has always kind of went back and forth a little bit. It's always sound a little bit weird because she's English.
Yeah.
And then her Southern accent, yeah. I feel
English,
has,
but it's, not. In her case, because she
was born in Jersey.
Actually born in New Jersey, yeah. So I don't know how old she was when she moved to England. Nine. So there you go. So, you know, her.
But she has a little bit of an English accent, regardless of when she grew up there, how she got it. When she speaks in regular interviews, she has a not heavy one like Andrew Lincoln or some of the other British actors on the show, but she's got an accent. It's not a clear American accent. When she tries to do that, I just feel her accent has been inconsistent just throughout. And I think it's probably a mix of trying to nail that accent, the grief and the acting and all the emoting that's happening in that moment. I think it made sense to me. I understood her.
Certainly from an emotional perspective, I thought it was spot on. It was just the Nick, like her tongue's too big, you know, my tongue is too big.
Right.
Anyway,
on that note,
we have to let you go, Rima. So
I do.
Thank you. Thank you so much for.
I had a great time.
Yeah. I wish that we'd started when we should have, and that's all on me. So
that's okay. I had a good time. I'm sure you guys will cover the rest of my points fine. And, you know, I had a great time and thanks for allowing me to be a part of it. It was fun.
All right. Thanks, Rima.
But I had a great time and I'll allow Kristen, she can give me a shout out, for Strange Indeed later on whenever she's, giving her little shout out. She'll have my back, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Gonna check with her, like, oh, you do have my back, right?
You know, it's not like I ever have about it, but it's like I don't want to speak for you and just, you know, say, oh, you're gonna do that. I feel like I should ask you. Will you, you know, throw that out there as a fellow member of Podcastica? So,
yeah,
anyway. I will represent Podcastica.
Yeah, and I knew that you would even without me asking, but I feel it's rude to make assumptions. So. I'm gonna stop recording and hop off. And you guys have a great time. And thanks for having me.
Well, thanks.
Bye.
Bye,
Rima. Okay, so I had two more points, and it had to do with the whole heel turn in the hilltop scenes there near the end. Is Jesus the kind of person that would do this kind of heel turn?
No.
Jesus doesn't do this kind of thing. Jesus stopped Morgan from using the pointy end on people that are alive. I have to try to say everything with the Jesus music. So anyway, but so he never formally said, you know, yeah, like Daryl did. But he was there. So do you think he's going to like try to play secret agent kind of like what Dwight just did or that? But or you think he's actually going to support Maggie trying to do whatever it is that she's doing? Like, is she basically saying that she's going to go to war with Rick and Michonne or is it just that? Because that's what she made it sound like, that we're going to build our, you know, we're going to be strong and
build our defenses,
you know, build our forces.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like, which admittedly sounds really cool. But now I kind of understand this whole salary dispute because we still haven't heard whether or not she's going to be signed up for season 9, and yet she's in this critical role here where it looks like she's going to be the villain. So, you know, I get it.
I don't buy it.
What's that?
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't, whatever with Maggie. I mean, maybe she's going to, you know, start something, but I don't buy it with Jesus. Jesus spends, you know, the first part of, you know, Jesus spends a lot of time with Morgan trying to tell him how he doesn't need to kill people and how there's another way and how there's time for after. And that's been like his only lines all season. So now all of a sudden he's going to be on Maggie's side to get rid of Negan? No. He never agreed with her on anything. He just asked her questions. Okay, so what's your plan? What do you think you should do? What do you think is going to happen? He never said, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, never said that. Yeah. So I don't buy it for one second.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems.
Yeah, he smiled.
Yeah, it seems like Jesus would be the double agent. But it looks like Daryl might be the one that's headstrong, that's going to go in and try to do something for her. Which might
see that.
Cause a rift between Rick and Daryl to a point where maybe Rick takes out Daryl next season.
Ooh.
Oh, please. From your lips.
That's not true. That's impossible.
That character is like what you said, Kristen. It's been up and down. They haven't really done much with him. Negan was the predominant character at one point where everything was based upon him. He had more screen time, definitely far more dialogue. And then they just kind of put Daryl on the wayside, and he only had a few times. You know, the last time we actually saw him actually have a conversation with Rick was when they were both fighting over, what was it? And then the Jeep blew up. And they were beating at each other, and then they realized, oh, crap, that's gone.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, darn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's when Michonne needed toothpaste.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I see Jesus as kind of like the group's, like, therapist. And, like, you know, he just goes, like, he's always going to be somewhere in the middle, and he will be trying to help, you know, like, maybe, you know, let you air out your thoughts, and then he'll come back and be like devil's advocate or whatever. So, I mean, I could see Jesus being kind of on Maggie's side, but then helping her kind of work through whatever her issues are. But I could also see where Daryl, because we've seen Daryl and Rick at odds, of Daryl basically not wanting to let it go, and then that caused whatever, you know, conflict. I could see something like that happening next season, whether or not it's actually going to turn into like another all-out war. I don't see them taking the series that direction fully. Yeah. It might be a part of it, but then maybe then Daryl just says, I'm out, and then he leaves, and then we get a crossover again.
No.
To that end, to what you said, Kyle, so if Jesus is a counselor, mm-hmm. does that mean that he's this show's Counselor Troy?
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, it didn't work with Morgan.
Whether or not he can read minds, but...
Yeah, yeah. Or is he Guinan? You know, the bartender that
he's
listens.
Whoopi Goldberg?
Yep, exactly.
Maybe he's a little mix of both.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so this whole idea of Rick versus Maggie and Daryl, is this enough to go to war over? Just you know, just everyone wanted to think that what's her name, Enid, was a spy. Well, this would be a good time to bring over those tainted pickles and make Negan eat the pickles and poison him or something like that, you know? Just take him out. I mean, you don't have to go to war over it.
Yeah. I don't see that's how they would want to make this played, but I could see using it as a way to create just more conflict and, you know, kind of splitting the group a little bit. But, you know, I definitely could see, you know, if Negan still, you know, is going to stay alive and be alive, that Daryl then would be definitely somebody that would be probably trying to conspire to just kill, you know, get rid of Negan, and then something happening along those lines. It's been so long since I read the comics, and I'm not going to spoil anything other than, you know.
Thank you.
There's, you know, everybody knows that Carl is still alive. And so there's something that I don't remember how it played out that maybe that's what they might try to do since Carl's gone. But I don't know. We'll see.
It's just a matter of seeing and waiting.
But
do you think that they would jump right back into a war plot after this entire season, Brian? Is that what you're saying?
I hope they don't, because I think that the ratings tell you all that need to be told. I mean, ratings were down last season over the previous season. And, you know, looking at the finale ratings versus last season, we were down quite a bit over last season.
Last season was oppressive.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying looking at the, you know, finale to finale, season 11, season 7 was down after the premiere, from previous seasons, but it ended at 11.314 million. And this one, and we won't get into ratings this episode, we'll cover that in more detail, in the feedback, but this one got 7.916 million. So, and that was up from, you know, the last several weeks. So, it just goes to show you though, that a lot of viewers have turned off this show and are not watching it, live, or maybe waiting for it to come on to Netflix and, you know, watching it then.
That was my point, is what I was saying about last season, season 7. It was oppressive.
Yes, it was.
I mean, it was like somebody had our face in a toilet bowl for 16 episodes,
yeah.
Like giving us swirlies over and over again, right? And then this season, you know, you see the opener and you've got the boom, boom, boom gunshot, and you're like, oh, they got a plan. This is going to be awesome. And Scott Gimple is sitting on the Talking Dead couch saying, this is going to be over by Christmas. And you believe him because you're stupid. And then here we are 16 episodes later, and they're finally wrapping this up. And, you know, when you look at, I mean, I've loved this season, especially this back half. I think this back half has been phenomenal, but I would turn it off too. If I was just like a fair weathered fan and I jumped on at No Sanctuary because I heard it was a cool show, and then all of a sudden one of my favorite characters is getting hit in the head with a bat and his eyes bulging out, and then I got to deal with this maniac now for every single episode, I'd turn it off too.
A friend of mine actually just started watching, I would say a good 3 months ago, and she caught up and she started watching the shows as they were going, and she said to me, she goes, when's this war going to end? And I said, yeah, it's not going to happen. So maybe this is the reason why Mr. Gimple had to just be overseer, and then they had to bring Angela Kang in. So that way, Mr. Gimple didn't sway people and around Christmas time or just before Christmas time saying, we're going to wrap this war up. So false promises and then declining viewership, not to put that in to focus or anything, but maybe that's the reason why they said, all right, we need a new perspective. You've done enough. Whereas before, when he jumped in from the previous showrunner, things moved on and writing was better and ratings were really good. Now they need that new fresh outlook and a new fresh start. I don't think they're going to do a war. I think that's just going to be more dramatic plot within the story. And we're going to see some things, some altercations. But it's most likely going to be a new beginning overall. Plus, Maggie has that book that Georgie gave her, The Key to Life.
Key.
So, yeah, they're going to be utilizing that. So, and then
and the key to Alden's heart.
Alden, thank you. I have I've been looking at IMDb I can't find this actor on IMDb in the cast list for some reason, and I had no idea what his name was. All I know is I kept calling him the guy who failing miserably to hide his accent.
Yeah. He's Australian. I know.
Well, I knew he wasn't whatever he was pretending to be.
Well, we have
Sorry.
We have a long history of both on both shows of actors, you know, having Australian or especially English accents, and even New Zealand Cliff Curtis. So it is a constant thing. And other than Stephen Ogg, I don't know of any Canadians that I can think of. But I know he's from Canada. I have to try to represent, you know. All right. So is that it for Weak Sauce for everybody?
Yep.
Okay. I see that we have at least two sad sauces, so we'll go with that. Kristen, do you have anything that would fit into the sad sauce category?
I don't know what sad sauce is.
It's stuff that you thought, oh, man.
Yeah, Negan is alive. Daryl is alive. Daryl, Eugene, and Negan are all alive. I'm really sad about it. Dwight was sent away. And Laura is all of a sudden good. I think it's just, yeah. So I'm very, very sad about that.
That sounds like more like bad sauce as opposed to sad sauce.
That's a new category.
Well, I'm sad about it.
Yep. Yeah, we're opening up a new line of sauces for the talk through. So now we have Kristen's mad sauce. I'll have to come up with
bumper for it.
Clip for that. Yeah, nice bumper.
I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, I wasn't. I guess I'm not sad about anything. I'm just angry.
Yeah. All right. Mark?
My sad sauce. Eesh, that would be the ending scene between Maggie, Daryl, and Jesus. Them plotting. Now, mind you, it was thrown in there. It could have been omitted. But we already knew how mad that Maggie was. But maybe this is what they were talking about with the that whole contract negotiating with her. We still have not seen anything about her, and they started filming recently. They're doing preliminary filming already in Georgia, so we've not seen anything. I look on YouTube and I look on a bunch of other media outlets where they bring up certain things, and I've not seen one thing saying that she was signed or she's actually filming. But, you know, we don't want a civil war. I think this is just a dramatic plot point, but we didn't really need to see this. This is something that they could just bring out come season 9 in the very beginning. They didn't have to put that in there. The ending of the war was enough, in my opinion. That cliffhanger was bad with that little scene. That could have been omitted.
Yeah, it was ambiguous.
That almost sounds like a mad sauce, too.
Or crazy sauce.
Oh, jeez.
You know what? Your sound is going to be Simon.
I tell you, we'll have to come up with a line of sauces. Kyle, do you have anything that you would put in the sad sauce category?
Well, I mean, I see that you've kind of already put something in there about it, but I think my sad sauce, and I might have to agree with your Watt sauce or whatever, was just Jadis's name. I mean, she's been this whole weird, kooky, two-word character that's been very infuriating at times. And then her real name is Anne. And I was kind of like, oh, I thought it'd be like Gretchen or Matilda or like something weird and like crazy. So I don't know if that'll fit in the sad. I was kind of like disappointed, I guess. Like, really?
Well, it's Anne with an E.
Well, I mean, I thought it was going to be something like Jade or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it totally throws that off. Because, like, I thought that Breon was, you know, obviously Brian with something that would I don't know, make more sense to say on or something like Brian Onson or something. I couldn't think of anything, but or Tammy L sounds name? Like, you know, Tammy Lindsay or something like that.
Was that her friend's name?
Tammy L was the
guy.
What guy?
The guy, not Tammy L, but the Breon. Guy that slicked back.
Yeah,
that was his name.
Yeah, the older garbage person.
Maybe she was honoring him by saying, "My name's Anne." Brian.
Okay.
Brian or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Because, you know.
She was really upset when he got killed. Like, really upset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Made me wonder if, you know, that might have been her father or something.
Or her man.
But.
Man in the can.
But, you know, obviously that with a name like Jadis, I thought that, you know, it would be like Jade Simpson or something like that. If it was Anne, the only thing I could come up with is Anus. And I don't think they would want to call her Anus. anyways. A-N-I-S. Okay, so... So my sad sauce is no explanation of the helicopter. And I kind of anticipated this, but I got all kind of like giddy when Morgan showed up at the trash people's place, because I thought, oh, is that how he's going to get over to Fear with the helicopter? And that didn't happen. So that's why I'm putting that in the sad category. All right. So. We have some what sauce as well.
What?
Kristen, do you have any what sauce? And that would be like, huh? That kind of thing.
Again, I go back to Negan's alive, Eugene's alive, Daryl's alive, I got sent out, Laura's good. Like, that all fits into the same category.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, I got... Just a little bit. So now Father Gabriel could see. What was that? I'm sorry. where was Sadiq when this happened? You know, as he comes into the church, he sees. I know there are certain things. What I want confirmation that he could actually see. But obviously, it's just a quick, short scene, and I could see. And of course, the light was shining through. So I was waiting for some sort of song to break out in that scene itself. It's pretty funny.
Amazing.
Exactly. There you go.
How sweet the
Everybody sound. Just comes in from outside all holding hands. And
yeah. But
I could see.
That's how it was. Everybody's holding hands, singing Kumbaya, and Laura's upstairs planting plants with the Oceanside women. Yeah, the whole thing was Kumbaya at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't see Jesus there with his man bun.
That would have been nice.
In the comic book, Jesus has a man bun, sorry.
Oh, I want to see it.
What the shit?
Anyway, I said it myself, Jadis was Anne. I didn't see that coming, so and I guess I can put in the whole like Civil War kind of thing. I kept on thinking of Captain America Civil War in this. Did you have any what sauce, Kyle?
Not really, more than what everybody pretty much has already said. Just still a few things there towards the end. Just kind of
all right. So for
like that, Eugene is alive.
Yes. I knew that he was going to turn around. That was just kind of how things from comic land were pretty much heading. So yeah, plot armor.
Boo.
All right. Well, let's what we would normally play for the time to listen and feedback, but this will just be other points that don't neatly fit in.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Okay. So, Kristen, what other notes do you have?
I only have two. So one of them is Morgan at the very beginning. He mentioned that him and Rick have lost everything good, and Rick has it. He has Judith. You know, he has, and I was talking about this, I know Mark, you were there, I think, earlier this week. But Judith represents like the three most important losses to Rick, Shane, Lori, and Carl. And it's all wrapped up in this one kid. And I think that that will eventually ground Rick enough to keep moving forward and to, you know, raising her will be a way to honor those three people that were his whole world before the apocalypse happened. And I think that Judith represents good and innocence and, you know, forward progress in the new world. So I kind of was a little miffed that, you know, Rick didn't say, I have Judith, man, like, sorry, you don't, but I haven't lost everything good. Also, I really kind of liked Carol's nuances in this episode when Jesus was talking to Morgan about you should use this stick for this side for the dead and this side for the living. And I don't know if anybody else caught it, but Carol was in the background listening and she just kind of like she cocked her head to the side and she gave a little smile like, yeah, that's a good plan. You know, like she was totally in the background. All she had to do was nothing. And she totally stayed with the scene and stayed in character. And, you know, I think Melissa McBride is just such an unsung hero of, we talk about her because we're super fans, but I think that she's so overlooked when it comes to this show. And even when the focus is nowhere near her, she's still right there every time. And I love that about her. So those were my notes.
All right. Kyle, what do you have?
Did we ever see Judith in this episode?
I don't remember seeing her.
Saw Grace.
Yeah, it was because there was a scene at the beginning, and I guess what Rick was looking out or whatever, and I can't remember who it was holding.
He was at the baby.
Yeah. But that wasn't Judith. That was Anne. So I was curious, like
Gracie.
Or Gracie.
Grace. Yeah.
So I was just kind of wondering, I'm like, wait, what's up with Judith? What's she doing? Is she just chilling somewhere?
She's in the house like Carl couldn't be.
Well, it should be interesting to see what is going to happen because now they have two kids. Like, what are they going to do with them? Is Judith going to... Like, are they going to do a time jump and then Judith is going to be like, you know, preteen and holding a bow and arrow?
And maybe what they'll do
She's Katniss Everdeen. Yeah.
All they have to do is hire one actress and she will graduate from Gracie to Judith and they'll just change her hairstyle or something. I know that's
yeah.
That's
no, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, at least down the line, where like if Maggie, I'm assuming by the point we get back into or come into season 9, she's going to have had her baby. I mean, she needs to have it because she hasn't been showing for so long.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
this would be a good time to do that time jump.
Or something, just like, okay, yeah. She had the baby. There you go. And then, yeah, so then Judith, by this point, should be, you know, 25, and then Gracie will be 3.
25.
Yeah. So.
Since you missed at the start, you might as well also give your rating and your awesome sauce here.
I mean, my rating would probably be, I think... I kind of was going back and forth because I only got to watch like it once and then up half of it because I was focusing on Fear. But I think I would have to give it a 7.9, maybe an 8. Okay. And then my awesome sauce, I mean, that's kind of a tough one, because I think probably my awesome sauce would be the fact that finally this war is ending and this season is like, it's finally over. There's so many times I felt like, you know, it's like they could have just done this all in one season and we could have been doing something completely else and ratings wouldn't have suffered.
Hallelujah.
Mark, how many issues of the comic book does the war take? Isn't it like 12 or something, or is it more than that?
It's between 8 and 12 issues total.
So in other words, we had more episodes of the show than we had issues of the comic book.
Yes, they spread it out, apparently. I was told, or I overheard something online about how they were trying to script it just almost to the comic in a sense where it would just last that long, but I think they were just milking it for the whole season.
Yeah.
And I kind of got that. As soon as we hit episode 4, I realized this war is going to go all the way and play out till the end of the season.
Yeah.
And Jason and I actually were talking about that at one point and back then, and he goes, yeah, I think it's going to happen. They're just going to milk this all the way to the end, which is what they did. And there's only so much you could spread out. So they used other storylines and just moved them and spread it out a little bit further and then added a little bit more of their own because it's the show.
And we should say Jason from the Walking Dead cast, if you don't know that name. And I've been actually editing the episodes of Walking Dead cast before doing our episodes here the last couple of weeks. So Jason's kind of in a pinch doing 4 podcasts right now. So he needs some editing help. So I pitched in. Do you have anything else, Kyle, you wanted to
bring? I had a thought about what Mark was saying, but just like how they did. I don't know if it was me or if you guys like felt the same way, but like after, you know, not to bring up another show, but Game of Thrones, did it not feel the same where it just,
bring
everything
it.
Just felt so rushed and messy. And then although Game of Thrones, we kind of like accepted it and it still was done well, that, you know, it was enjoyable to like, there were so many times this season where it was kind of like, whoa, like it just, that made no sense. And you're just basically like doing obvious stuff that has like basically no point just because we know you need to move the story. And there was too many times during the season that I kept feeling that. And I started losing kind of interest.
moving of the chess pieces.
Yeah.
And, you know, bringing in things like Oceanside and, I happen to notice one of the things I was going to mention is yet again, Sadiq had a very long character moment that was spoken very slowly. and I thought, come on, you know, you could have taken that scene over a little faster and, you know, either less lines or just simply sped up 20%. You know, it was.
Which scene are you talking
about? At the beginning, when Rick asks Sadiq how, you know, Carl got bitten.
Oh my gosh, that was one of my favorite parts of the whole episode.
It wasn't that it wasn't a favorite part. You know, I enjoyed it, but I just thought that that scene kind of lingered a little too long, and it seemed to really be spoken very slowly and deliberately, and we really needed it to go faster.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm sorry, I disagree. I think that this is the first time that Rick has ever directly talked to Sadiq.
Yeah.
And Sadiq needed to choose his words carefully, and I think that he was nervous to talk to Rick, and that if he said the wrong thing, you know, he didn't know what Rick was going to do. He doesn't know Rick at all. He knows that Rick leaves the hilltop and he comes back covered in blood.
True.
You know, so I liked kind of the timidness of his of his speech to Rick. And I thought that, gosh, I thought it was such a beautiful scene. And I loved, you know, Rick couldn't really speak and he touches his chest. He says, thank you. It's very quiet. It's, you know, there's a baby in the room. It's a moment of reflection. It's that quiet before the final push to end this war. I can't say enough good things about that scene.
Well,
so I'm sorry. I totally disagree.
No, and I think that's, one thing.
That's cool.
I think one thing though that probably might have maybe come like maybe might have made Brian maybe think that way. But there's been so many times where when we've been watching the show that they would go that artsy with the music and with the like the slow you know fades of the faces or items and stuff that you at least sometimes during the season I was kind of like come on, like the scene takes like all the way to the commercial break and all we've seen are basically this swelling music and you know like the faces, which is like this is too artsy, go like move on, we need the story. Could see where I start losing my patience. So if I was kind of like maybe just perception, it was kind of like no, come on, we have a whole story we need, not more filler. Mm-hmm. But I haven't rewatched it again, so I'm not really sure how I would.
But Kristen, you've made some good points, and I have to reconsider those thoughts because you definitely brought up some good points. I think most of the other things I was going to say have already been said. I did like that. It looked like people from Alexandria and the Hilltop were going to help repair the sanctuary. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, what my thoughts of with haircut lady, Laura aside, because I totally see where you're coming from there, Kristen. It was a bit of an abrupt turn there. Because she was definitely not a pleasant person, and
the worst.
Yeah, and then you know suddenly she just decides to stop fighting, and So I don't think I have anything else. So I will, unless Mark, do you have? Did you say these points? I don't think you did.
No, I did not. Where did Jadis go at the end after Morgan shows up and takes her place at the garbage place? Yeah, that was one thing I was confusing to me.
Rick said that like, she could come back, so wasn't it Alexandria?
Yeah, I tend to think it was Alexandria.
Yeah, I would assume that she wouldn't run to Hilltop.
No. Especially with Rick and Michonne being in Alexandria, I would think that she would have run to Alexandria.
And we didn't really see any major deaths in this episode, if you noticed.
Nope.
There was nobody key out of any of the groups that we've been watching, except for the Saviors, who are all red shirts.
Yeah.
And then...
Arat, did she die? Did Arat die?
She is listed as unknown at this point.
Okay. MIA.
Yeah. I don't think it was established. And I think... Part of it is the fact that that actress is a regular on, I think it's the name of the show is The Resident. So she's actually got a much bigger role on that show than she has on The Walking Dead. So that's why she hasn't been around too much.
The only other thing I have would be the crossover with Fear and how it was nice and fluid and how it moved into the Fear episode with Morgan, and he kind of played that whole Forrest Gump thing as he was just running.
Run, Morgan, run!
Yeah, I think a part of me, though, when the first time I watched it, though, especially right after Walking Dead, like, I didn't like that at all. Like, I was, like, sitting there kind of getting mad because I was like, no, I don't want this to be a Morgan show, you know, like... I don't know, like just from that start and just seeing them talk to him, it struck me the wrong way. The second time I watched it, then it like without coming from right from The Walking Dead, then it felt better and felt a little more natural. And plus, we did get to see, you know, things. So,
Well, yeah.
That's funny because I waited a full night before watching Fear.
Oh, you did?
I went to bed right after Walking Dead. I wanted to marinate on the finale. I wanted it to just be about the finale. I didn't want it to be about the crossover. And I think I enjoyed both shows a lot more that way.
Mm-hmm. That works. That's good.
Personally, though.
And of course, we will be discussing the Fear in the next episode that we discuss. So this is when we will cross over ourselves.
Yeah.
So at this point, I will say to submit your feedback, and I will say that you can submit your feedback about the episode. We are still taking feedback for that. We will be, of course, taking feedback for the Fear episode. And if you have any comments about this episode, you can submit that as well. Go to, and we apologize again, not covering any feedback this episode, but rest assured, all feedback will be covered this week. We are going to be doing 4 episodes this week. So, you'll be sick of us by the end of the week. Trust me. Anyway, to submit your feedback, there are many different ways. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. Use the SpeakPipe widget that's there, or you can call the Golden Spiral Media voice line at 304-837-2278. Or, like most people, they leave the feedback on the designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/group/walkingdeadgsm. You can also send email to walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. That's true for both Fear and The Walking Dead. I lied to all of you and I said that the feedback deadline was Tuesday. It was just a question of when Kyle, Mark and I could sit down and discuss the feedback before announcing it. So I can officially say now that you have until Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, to get in your feedback for this or Fear or anything else. So for this week. And then when we will go back to, we will actually have an altered deadline next week, which we have to figure out. We have a tentative thing, but it'll probably be an earlier feedback deadline next week. You can also connect with us on Twitter. That's at Walking Dead GSM. To support us, the best ways are to go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. And if you haven't subscribed to us there in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice, please do so. If you go to that URL I just gave you, /Apple, you can also see all the other podcasts in the network. So we don't have any new reviews this week, but Angela Sharp, who gave us that wonderful bit of feedback that we started the last episode with, she revised her review to give us a 5-star review. So thank you, Angela, for doing that. And I should also say I lost my job a few weeks ago. Things are looking up. As I mentioned, I had a in-person interview, my first one. I've had phone interviews, but this is my first in-person one. So things are going well, but we still could really use your support because, you know, who knows how long, for that matter, don't know if this will lead to a job or not. But my Wi-Fi, and I should say I'm now getting unemployment, so things aren't as destitute as they were, but we can still use your support. Go to GoFundMe.com/TWDTTBrianHardDrive. And since the last time we were recorded, we've gotten donations from Jackie, Steve, who is Mark's co-host on Panels to Pixels, and an anonymous donor also donated this week. So, all right. So normally we would say where else listeners can hear us, but since Rima isn't here, I'll just say that you can hear her on two podcasts right now. She is doing the Legion. Is it called Legion Cast?
Called Legion Cast. Yeah. You can find it. Legion Cast is off of Podcastica. You can go to podcastica.com to see all of the podcasts over there. And both of her podcasts are there. You've got Legion Cast that she does with Jason, who is the man of the Podcastica movement. She's also a co-host with
Sean Hannah,
Sean on with a Strange Indeed, and they are wrapping up Altered Carbon right now, and they are actually recording as we speak.
Yes.
Their very last episode, and they will be announcing the next show that their next steps, actually. So
yeah,
I don't know what they are.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
I'm hoping that they're going to
tune in.
I'm hoping they're going to go back and cover seasons 1 to 3 of Black Mirror. So that's where I voted. All right, Mark.
Yes, you could actually hear me and Steve Brown, like Brian just mentioned. Steve and I do Panels to Pixels. We ended our Netflix Punisher series, reviewing that for the first season of that. And we are on Jessica Jones season 1. We're doing 2 episodes at a time. So you could actually find Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Podcast Network. And you could actually find us on Facebook.
I love the name of your podcast, Mark.
Thank you.
Everybody that I tell about your podcast, every last person says, that's a rad name for a podcast.
Cool.
Yeah, I was surprised that there's a YouTube channel called Panels to Pixels too, but it's not you, unfortunately.
No, we get confused. Apparently, a few people have added us as a link and didn't realize it was them, but then they started following us, and then they sent a couple of feedback emails saying, I'm sorry I did this. But it's nice. It's nice to have them listening, though.
Yeah. And I also do another podcast, which is the Star Trek Discovery podcast. And we just released our roundtable episode that had been promised for quite a while. And that actually had Steve from Panels to Pixels on there, as well as our former co-host on this show, Ruthie, and my former co-host on the Star Trek Discovery podcast, Adam. So, and we kept on saying how very incestuous that panel was, because either I had done podcasts with them, or I had, in the case of Steve, his co-host for another podcast was my co-host on this one. Very strange. And Kyle, you will be hearing a lot more of.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. So we will be in the process. I guess this week will be kind of schizophrenic and bouncing between The Walking Dead Talk Through and Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. But
we'll make it.
Kyle is my co-host, my official co-host for Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. And I say official because, Mark, I don't know how we're going to do this, because technically, we're only supposed to have 2 hosts for every podcast, but I have a feeling you're going to join us for at least some of the trip.
Sure.
Assuming you would want to, but...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right. So the next episode that we're going to be covering is Fear the Walking Dead season 4, episode 1, which was titled What's Your Story? And that is written by Scott M. Gimple, Andrew Chambliss, and Ian B. Goldberg, and directed by John Polson. The description of that one is, a lone traveler's weary journey is interrupted by new acquaintances, some who become friend, others who become foe.
That's funny. That could be...
It's a little too far away from the soundboard, so I couldn't hit it right away. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that sounds like the pilot for Walking Dead.
That's a good point. Yeah. And then for next week, the episode is season 4, episode 2, titled Another Day in the Diamond. And that episode, if you are a Comcast subscriber and you can get AMC Premiere, they can already see it already. So I don't know if anyone fits into that, but if you're going to give feedback, please don't talk about that episode yet, because most of us haven't seen it. But we do know it's been written by the co-showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian B. Goldberg. Hmm. And it is directed by Michael E. Satrazimus, who I'm sure you may know that name from his many directing stints on The Walking Dead. And I saw from the credits that he is now a co-executive producer, probably the director on staff of Fear the Walking Dead now. So the description is: a troubled survivor finds allies in an unexpected place. The life Madison has brought to build comes under threat. Oh boy. And tentatively, we have a scheduled guest, and we may have two if Mark comes on, which I assume he will. But we are also going to have probably the biggest cheerleader of Fear the Walking Dead that I can think of, Laura Willie Swink.
I wish I could have guessed it, because that was going to be my guess. Yeah.
All right. Until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kristen.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.